Please, President. The meeting is described the worship this weekend, this wonderful gathering. The wonderful fellowship, the fellows of all precious faith. Our lives may continue as they existed before we made the trip to the gathering this weekend. But on the other hand, we may, each of us, may have identified a small, a large change in our lives that could be made as we await the salvation of the Lord. Hopefully there has been at least one thing said along the enduring brother that was trigger each of us to make whatever changes are needful in our lives so that we can learn to become better servants for our Father on high. Maybe we can take one real comment with us that has been said to help us to remain steadfast until the end, regardless of the troubles around us. We believe that we are so close to that great day of God Almighty, when the Lord will manifest himself to the saints of all ages. If there are changes that need to be made in our lives, may God strengthen us to make those changes as soon as possible. Tonight may very well be the night when we're awakened by a strong, steady hand on our shoulder. We will hear these words from the lips of the individual that's in our bedroom. The Master has come and called us to leave. It may not be our call to think of these questions in these calls. We are sadly arrived from our beds, trembling with accelerated heartbeats. Our minds will be racing. The year of thought about that first call that will occur in our minds whenever it happens. Will it be a simple, sincere, peaceful, praise the Lord? Or would it be that first call, would it be about the evil thoughts that we had during the day? What would we do prior to retiring to sleep that night? Do we wish that we had one more day, one more night, to make things right for certain brothers? Surely none of us would wish to have more time to wrap up or to complete some non-important project in our lives. Did we do our daily studying that day? Or did we allow the other tasks in our lives to push this important task to fall? Were we sincere in our daily prayers? On this particular day of the visit from this stranger, do we manifest the characteristics of our Heavenly Father, merciful and long-suffering to all? Do we manifest the fruits of the Spirit? Do we manifest the characteristics that Jesus saw in the Sermon on the Mount? Were we present to be around? Were we a good example to those around us? Imagine what our first thoughts will be. The scriptures teach that for those who ultimately will be accounted worthy to enter into the kingdom, there will be great joy and rejoicing. And for the unworthy ones, there will only be despair and agony and remorse about those lost opportunities when we should have made better use of our time to try to become better close to God in His life of probation. There will be signs of glaring play coming from the worthy ones to our eternal Father and His Son. The story will pass through Isaiah 25 and 26 again. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 46:1. In that day, remember what the Lord Jesus spoke about this morning. In that day, shall his stone be strong in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will fall upon the walls of the walls. This verse is described from the beginning, to be heard from the land of Judah. The chorus of the refrain to the song of the redeemed being heard in the land of Judah, there is one little critical event awaiting those who identify with God's book of remembrance. Isaiah 26:19. My dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Let me see you that groan thus, but I do that the dew of earth, the earth shall cast out to death. So whatever means that Paul has set forth, there will be a resurrection from the memorial grave of God's sons and daughters throughout the ages. They will learn that the living saints will be taken to the place of judgment and trial. There they will be in the presence, the holy presence of the only begotten Son of God, and the angels under his direction. All of the living saints will be joined with a multitude of covenant believers from all ages. What a blessing, brother. The scripture teaches that everyone in that group will have to give an account of their lives in Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:10. The scripture gives us proof as to how this event will be handled. The scope of Joshua 7:19-21. Well, here was this chapter about the sin of Achan. Notice what these verses said. Joshua, who's typical of Christ, said to Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw him in the spoils, and goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and red of gold, and 50 shekels of lace, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, and the hips of my hand, and the silver under it." This examination is applied to what may happen at your dress of feet. On an individual basis, I believe, we will have to give account of that which we have done in our lives for Christ. We will not be able to hide those things from the antitypical Joshua, even Christ Jesus. We know, it's recorded in Hebrews 4:12-13, that God knows and sees all. We will have to confess those sins that we previously ignored, that we previously failed to recognize. Confirmation of acts, good and bad, will be made by the angelic messengers of the antitypical gospel. The entries in God's day book of remembrance will be set, verified, and a just verdict rendered. Achan can receive what he deserved, the wages of sin, which is death. This will be the outcome of all who, like Achan, failed to remain obedient to Yahweh and give the silver, typical of God's redemption and the darkness of their heart, symbolized by the earth, this account. This group of individuals at the judgment seat were not steadfast to the end. They were not steadfast in their probationary walk in the Lord. This group left the allurements of the world, the pull of family ties, the little encouragement of so-called friends, detract them from their goal of being made partakers with Christ. Kingdom. This group followed the sinful throne of all those who practice evil, did not abide in Christ as commanded by the Lord himself in John 15. Let's turn over to that John 15. starting at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Also verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and abide in his love. So abide with Christ, I think we can equate to being steadfast to the end. In Mark 6, beginning at verse 30, through 44, we find another situation where certain individuals are regathered into the Lord after a certain period of time. They were required to give an account of their activities. In verse 30, we find that the apostles had been separated from Christ for an undetermined period of time. They were now being gathered into him, where they confessed all things that they had done while separated from him. Verse 31 tells us that they were invited to a solitary place for a time of rest. The solitary place should be typical of the place where Christ and the immortal saints will isolate themselves to the beginning of their military march towards Jerusalem. The rest that the apostles experienced is typical of that eternal rest that no one other than Christ has yet entered into. This is typical of the rest that Paul references in Hebrews 4:9, where he says, "There remaineth the rest to the people of God." Mark continues in this account, stating that after the rest period was completed, Jesus and the apostles leave this solitary place of rest and went forward to teach and feed the hungry flock. This typifies the time, possibly when the remnant of the Jews in the land will be fed and taught by the millennium, by the multitudinous flock. These two accounts present the two possible outcomes as we stand before the righteous judge. We know that a righteous and just determination will be provided in all cases by he who is the judge of the entire earth. But what will be the verdict for me and for you, brethren? What will we hear? Will we hear these words of comfort from Matthew 25:21? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. Or, will we hear these words of agony and despair from Luke 13:27? For these shall say, I tell you, I know you not what you are. Depart from me, all the workers of iniquity. It's interesting that the individual that did not receive these words of approval, as recorded in Matthew 25, hid his object in the ground, just as Achan did. Both received the same condemnation for eternal death. We cannot hide our talents that are provided to us. They are blessings that Yahweh has bestowed on us. Different talents for each of us, but they are truly blessings if we use them in accordance with the way God has directed. We cannot hide God's redemption, salvation, those wonderful blessings promised to us by Yahweh. They who have waited for the salvation from the Lord will then enter into their rest after this just and righteous service. For them, death will be swallowed up in victory. God's gracious gift, his wonderful blessing, the eternal life, bestowed on who makes up the true bride of Christ. They will be joined to their groom in eternal marriage. They will have entered into their rest with their husband. They now await his instruction of how to receive the reestablishment of the kingdom of God. A great and wonderful blessing that we have to look forward to if we remain faithful. If we endure to continue steadfast to the end. How blessed are these individuals in that multitudinous cross? This is another group of individuals who recently was the recipient of the greatest gift ever given to man, the nature of God Almighty, the opportunity to serve Him forever, the opportunity to help teach the glorious gospel to the mortal constituents of the kingdom of God. This is a blessing so longed for, so desired throughout the days of our mortal probation. It is unimaginable to understand the joy that is seen and heard from this group. The most longed-for day of Yahweh was in their hand. Can we envision who will be part of that group? We know in Hebrews 11 there are several identified. As a county worthy, we may be walking side by side with the worthies of old, those that are in Hebrews 11, and many, many more unnamed, faithful individuals in days of life. All arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. All ready to give Yahweh and His Son praises for the millennial period. Although their minds, their thoughts, and desires will be to manifest themselves and proclaim the Holy Gospel in God's holy city of Jerusalem, there are certain tasks that have to be completed prior to their manifestation on our water. Part of their mission will be to extract and destroy the northern invader from the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Another part of their task at hand will be to free the surviving Jewish remnant from the southern Arab countries and from Egypt, so they will be able to escape the atrocities of the northern invader and his associates, and to lead them back to the land promised to their fathers of old. What a blessing, brethren. This Jewish remnant will have realized that they had no hope after experiencing the utmost fatal distrust of the nation by the worst, most powerful enemy of the day, Gog. After the completion of each task, we will see the multitude of Christ setting their feet on the now walls, which will split in half, causing great tremors throughout the world's landscape and unimaginable destruction of the evil of the world. This glorified and immortal cloud of goodness will come upon the world at large like a thief in the night. The people and nations of the world at large will not understand that this powerful army is being directed by the manifestation of Yahweh through His Son and His immortal soldiers, the Lord of hosts. They will assume that He is the demonic antichrist of their false religion. They will turn against Him, and many, if not most, will refuse to accept the everlasting gospel that will be proclaimed from the midst of Jerusalem by this immortal band of believers. Any and all who refuse this divine teaching will be destroyed for their lack of acceptance, their lack of faith, and their disobedience. These unbelieving nations of the world will subject the Jews living in every country the cruel and harsh punishment when they try to return to the land promised to their fathers under the leadership of the immortalized Elijah and his associates. Many of the Jews left in the diaspora, they refused to leave their adopted home, their adopted countries, and their way of life. Many may go with Elijah just to escape the horrors of the land in which they dwell, but actually having no hope in the new Jewish leader in the city of Jerusalem. These also will be destroyed. The rebels of the Jewish group that will refuse the teachings of Elijah will be brought under the divine law of judgment, purged out, and will not be allowed to enter the land of Israel. The looking at the group of the true sons and daughters of Yahweh, have established yourselves in Jerusalem. Refrain that the sign of the redeemed will be honored by all those who have an ear to hear, both Jews and Gentiles. Part of the lesson, be able to be part of that group, sing that song of the redeemed. As stated in Isaiah 26:1, the group will sing out, we have a strong team, a warrant and power to deceive consisting only of the salvation of God. We learn that the countries of the world will send their strong troops of artillery, their greatest soldiers, and their most experienced general against this Jewish leader and his associates. The Dutch army will be able to tear down this strong city. No instrument of the world's armament will be able to destroy this eternal strong city. This group is clothed and covered with the eternal spirit of God. The gates of the kingdom would have been recently opened to this glorified body, the gates of glory, honor, and immortality. Those that the prophet states that these gates will be opened to that to a righteous nation that has life and keepeth the truth. Revelation 21:12 returns that the angels of God are symbolically stationed at the spiritual gates of the spiritual temple. Their task to admit the worthy, keep out the unworthy. A literal temple that we know to be built by Ezekiel will also have a porter at the gate to perform the same task. Let's go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 describes the character of these individuals in their progressive life that were now clothed with the white robes of righteousness. It's a very appropriate description of those who now, today, are spiritually waiting for the salvation of their Lord. Who shall abide in our tabernacle? Who shall dwell in our holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And to acknowledge a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth him as fear of Yahweh. He that sweareth to his own heart, hope, and change his mind. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against his innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be removed. They will receive the ultimate blessing of the ultimate salvation of Yahweh. Returning to Isaiah. Isaiah's Song of Deliverance in chapter 26 also provides us a general description of the previous character of those who now make up this righteous nation and enter into the glory of God. Verse 3, it says, their mind is stained on me because he trusteth in me. This statement reminds us of the words of David in 1 Chronicles 16:15. Be you always mindful of the covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Is our mind stayed on Yahweh every day of our life? Our heart, mind, and soul should be focused on God and His kingdom, not on the works of flesh. As mentioned earlier, Isaiah 26:3-4 references the trust that we have and that we are required to place in our Heavenly Father. Verse 8 states that during our mortal lives, the inhabitants of this now righteous nation always desire to remember His name. To remember the name of Yahweh is to remember His plan and purpose for this creation. To remember the name of Yahweh is to remember and manifest His spirit of wisdom. To remember the name of Yahweh is to remember the perfect manifestation of Himself through His only begotten Son. This desire, this constant, continual desire for these individuals, led these saints to seek Him early, indicating this was their first and foremost thought and principle in their life. But what is this day in which this song will be sung? We talked about this verse several times. Ezekiel 39:8 states that it is the day where Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. It is the day of Yahweh. It is the day when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings, as we read in Malachi 4. It is the day of joy, praise, glory, and honor, and salvation for those who make up that righteous nation that just entered into the eternal gate of God's kingdom. It is a day of vindication and deliverance for His people Israel. But for those who fight against this glorified and glorified body, the day of Yahweh is a day of extreme judgment and a day of the manifestation of the wrath of Yahweh. Look at Zechariah 14:3. This is part of verse 1. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the house of Israel and the women ravaged, as the city shall go forth into captivity. And the vengeance of the people should not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight His first nation as when He fought in the day of battle. Also, Zechariah 12:2-4. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, and all the people round about, for they shall be in the sea both against Judah against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, through all the people of earth to gather together against it. In that day, says Yahweh, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, will smite every horse of the people for blindness. It will be a day of retribution and destruction for those Gentile nations of the world that have continually made the people of Israel a gift and a byword throughout all the ages. Isaiah 26:9. It says, from thy judgment through the earth, the inhabitants of the world belong to righteousness. This verse states that when God's judgment burns the earth, that will be when righteousness will be burned by the nations of the world. The prophet Isaiah will be stoned before this time when all people of the earth learn this righteousness. It's one of the blessings of the immortalized saints. As we read in Psalms 1:29, the opportunity to carry out God's command and judgment, the obedient to the direction and righteous guidance and cause of a blessing only enjoyed by this immortalized foe under the leadership of the captain of their salvation. As stated in Isaiah 26:1, the plan of salvation will be sown in the land of Judah. Being now located in Judah, and the defeat of the great invader, a recent memory, they now turn their attention towards the false prophet of apostasy under the Catholic leadership and the beastly nations of Europe and all other nations who associated themselves with this false prophet. Isaiah 26:5-6. Speaks of the destruction of this lofty city, even spiritual boundaries, representing the downfall of all things in opposition to the establishment of God's kingdom. This is the day of the Lord, represented by the prophet Daniel, when he describes the stone made without hands, that will smite the image of the nations of the world, who are now standing erect as one entity, will break them together like chaff of a summer threshing floor, and the scattering will become a great mountain to fill the entire earth. This will be the day of the Lord, the meeting words of Isaiah 2:2-4 will be accomplished. It shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow into it. And you people shall dare to say, come ye, take the rest of the mountain of Yahweh, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way, we will walk in his paths, for our grinders shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge the other nations, and shall rebuke these people, and they shall beat the swords in the plowshares and the spears in the pruning. Nations shall not lift up sword in this nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Others in history of blessings afforded that immortalized group of saints at that time to help anticipate to make sure these promises are carried out. This will be the day of the holiday, for those that tell the worthy will be allowed to participate in the building of God's holy temple, and they will witness God's glory in filling the temple. This will be the day of Yahweh, when the righteous nation will join in with Christ to celebrate the Feast of Hope. What blessings await those who are waiting for the salvation of their Lord. As we consider the completion of these events, we should allow our minds to think about, to consider the joy, the praise, the honor that will go forth at this day with the mortal voices to the God on high and his only begotten Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. These immortal praises will proclaim in perfect harmony the worthiness of the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 5:7-13. What a time of blessing, brother. What a time of rejoicing. To me, hard to imagine. Let's now turn to Psalm 31:19. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ears, neither have the eyes seen of God beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. And 1 Corinthians 2:9. But in this as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has said for them that love him. Here we see this promise, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, a promise that still exists for faithful brethren today. All three of these verses are speaking about the ultimate blessings of Yahweh. We see the fifth factor, though, when we read these verses. In Psalms 5, we have the fear, the reverence of Yahweh. Isaiah, if we wait upon Yahweh. Corinthians, if we love him. brotherhood is the essence of all the comments this weekend. We must recognize that for each and every one of us, there is an if factor that must be considered before we as individuals can participate in the blessings of Yahweh in either of these two stages of life, our mortal, relationary life, or that immortal, incorruptible, eternal life, if we're blessed to be part of that age. If we are steadfast, if we place our trust in Him who is our only place of refuge, if we have Him as He has loved us, if we wait in the truest spiritual meaning of that word. How strong is our belief that this day of the Lord is upon us? How close is it really to each and every one of us? As we listen and read in the signs of the times, how close do we imagine the day of Yahweh is? Prophetically, what else has to happen before we call it seven? We see the Russian leader already in the Middle East. We see the most powerful, cautious nations separating themselves from the nations of Europe. Britain with their exit from the European Isle. And who knows what actions will be taken by the current USA administration that will ultimately separate themselves from the nations of the world. Let us not be as the scoffers in Peter's day, saying, where is the promise of His coming? Let us not be like the evil servant of Matthew 24:3a, who says in his heart, the Lord will answer His coming. These evil servants, it says, will be appointed their portion for the hypocrites of the devil. Brethren, when we ask ourselves what we must do in order to be allowed to participate in these great and precious promises that Yahweh has offered to us, we must be brutally honest in answering that question. We must look at the things that we think, the things that we do, the things that we say, the people that we associate with, anything in our lives we must be brutally honest about. So with James 1 chapter. In James 1, starting verse 23. If any of the appearance of the world is not a Jew, he is not a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But as soon as he looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being steadfast to the end, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the world, this man shall be blessed. Indeed, our standard of evaluation can only be Christ, who was the perfect manifestation of His Heavenly Father. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of Him, whosoever followeth that perfect example of Christ, and continuing steadfastly to the end, this man shall be blessed in his work. The scriptural principle stated in Luke 12:48 must be a driving force in our lives. To whom much is given, much is required. We don't understand the blessings that we have in this life. No set of promise to us, and we will not understand God's requirements to obtain those things. We must be steadfast, consistent, constant, unchanging, strong enough to withstand the winds of false doctrine. We mentioned Romans 8:35-39 this morning. There are 17 things there mentioned that if we all compel each and every one of us from the love of God, away from the love of God and His Son. as we honestly answer the question all is required of us, we cannot allow any of these 17 things to take over our lives. It's interesting that also 17 things specifically mentioned in the list of the works of the blessed, Galatians 5. As we read that list, we must understand that there are natural and spiritual beings attached to each of these characteristics of the flesh. When we take a critical look at ourselves, being brutally honest, do we see even the slightest hint of any of these 17 things? If we do, brethren, we need to change immediately. And we all do at some point. Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verses 3 to 11. Others who are identified as receiving the blessing. Blessed are the poor spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The ultimate blessing of waiting for the salvation of our Lord. Great is the reward of heaven, the so persecuted day of which will be for you. A beautiful description of what is required of us, of what are the blessings offered if we remain steadfast until the end. Brethren, these verses to be guiding principles in our relationship with Yahweh and to each other. There is no path that we can follow. As we stated earlier, our traveling days are almost over. Our path is winding to an end. Our feet may be sore, our backs aching, and our minds weary with all the turmoil that we face in our professional life. But we always have a hope. We always have a place of refuge. We always have the promise of God's mercy, long suffering, and patience. We have the constancy of a Heavenly Father that offers us unimaginable blessings, and of His Son made like to His brother in His mortal days. God is not slack concerning His promises, as we know. God is faithful in all of His promises. God has promised us that He will never fail us nor forsake us if we remain steadfast to the end and steadfast in the completion of our responsibilities. Go to Hebrews. First chapter. I want to read verses 12 to 14. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, on the common day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Brethren, we are blessed amongst all people. I love you, the love and mercy that God shows us now, and the gift of His only begotten Son, the gift of His truth, the gift of the opportunity to still be gathered together with those of our precious faith, but with the blessings in the age to come are unimaginable. I'd like to close today by reading Psalm 115. And as we consider these words, let's take these words of praise always with us as we return to our daily life. Let's remember the blessings we enjoy today. Let's remember the promises God has given to us. The days are quickly flying. Christ will come again. The Lord is strange attending, triumphant in his train. When every eye shall see him, and every tongue confess the glory of our Father and Christ our righteousness. Hosanna to the O day of God today, sweet day of consolation that only haunts its bed. When every task was ended and every song was passed, the cry goes up triumphant, the Lord is come at last. Let thy kingdom in thy kingdom, set up on earth thy throne, lest thy sheep grow weary of hoping for thine own. Now when the night seems darkest, come in thy glory, God. Come to redeem thine Israel, and turn thy faith to silence.